Another question? Sal, and then Stace. Sally.
I have a question from the passage that I've read out. Where did you come from? Verse 14, chapter 7.
Yep.
I will be his father, he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men and the rod of his name.
Okay. Particularly, you're not talking about the Father and the Son, I assume. You're talking about when he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. Yep. That is. I'm not saying that you are Abdul, Sally, but I'm saying that was Abdul's problem. That is, the Bible is fulfilled in multiple ways as you read it. So it's not just a simple, everything in this is about Jesus. Not everything here is necessarily directly and only about Jesus. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 14, when he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. Remember that from at the as David, God's talking to David, he's talking about his son, his physical sons, the kings of Israel. And so Solomon did actually build the temple. And when you look at Manasseh, that was, what was that again? That was, it's in your outline. I don't have my outline here, but I wrote it down. Someone called out, it was 2 Kings 21. You look at 2 Kings 21, I might as well read that out now that the question's been asked. 2 Kings 21, 10 to 15. See, the Lord said through his servants, the prophets, Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these detestable sins. He has done more evil than the Amorites who preceded him and has led Judah into sin with his idols. Well, there's a son of David who's doing wrong. Verse 12, therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I am going to bring such disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. That's the way they spoke then. I will stretch out over Jerusalem the measuring line used against Samaria and the plumb line used against the house of Ahab. I will wipe out Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and hand them over to their enemies. They will be looted and plundered by all their foes because they have done evil in my eyes and have provoked me to anger from the day their forefathers came out of Egypt until this day. Now, what God is saying there is that he's going to bring the rod of men, that is, a kingdom, against Judah and particularly against the king of Judah, and he's going to wipe out this kingdom. So there is a fulfillment there in the history there. He does wrong. Now, how does it apply to Jesus? Well, one of the things that Jesus does is that when he comes on the scene, he takes upon himself the sin of his people and takes upon himself actually the sin of the world. But he takes upon himself the sin of his people and he dies. He is punished. He is flogged. As Emily pointed out before, you actually see him being punished for the wrong of the world. So I think there's also a fulfillment in Jesus here. But he's not being punished for doing wrong himself. He's being punished for the sort of sin Manasseh did, the sort of sin that you and I and each one of us has committed against God. And he is punished so that we do not have to be punished. But it's not as simple, everything here is about a king or about Jesus. Does that help, Sally? Okay.
Yeah. So, Stacey, your question was
Stacey's
the same.
My love will never leave you, his kingdom will last forever. And I thought, why is this then referring to the other king when all these other statements seem to be he, Jesus?
Yes. Yes, so why?
I think that helped.
Okay. So it helps to answer the question, why is this bit seems to talk about the kings and the rest talk about Jesus? Okay.
Any more questions? Thanks, Lionel.
I think we're done. Okay.
It's really good to keep asking questions. If you have further questions, Lionel will be very happy to talk to you after the service.